Welcome to the CCTA Wake Up Call Show. Thank you for joining us. We're glad that you can spend some time with us, and hopefully we'll have a lot of varied and interesting topics to present to you. My name is Bob Griswold.
Mary Griswold.
Alan Harrop.
Pat Park.
Kim Fink.
Glenn Fink.
Good, very good. Mary, now you have a direction that we're heading off.
We're starting with Pat.
Well, I'm just the bearer of bright and happy news, as usual. Last show, I brought up the fact that Tupperware had gone bankrupt because, you know, we need to remember that Bidenomics works.
For whom?
For the restaurant chain called Boston Market. Did anybody ever eat at Boston Market?
Yes.
Yeah. I loved Boston Market. When I was living in New Mexico and I had reserve duty in Albuquerque for the weekend, I ate my meals at Boston Market because it was cheap. You got a full meal.
Good.
And the food was delicious. In fact, last year at Thanksgiving, didn't we have Boston Market?
Yeah, we had some turkey from Boston Market.
And didn't we have their cranberry?
Yes, we had the cranberry jello or sauce.
Cranberry sauce with walnuts.
Pineapple.
Oh, so good.
What is Boston Market doing in New Mexico?
Folks, we're going to pause the show to have a little quick dinner here. But
yeah, any rate, Boston Market used to have 1,200 restaurants. It's now down to 27. The guy that bought it 4 years ago when the company started struggling, he's got other problems. He's personally declared bankruptcy. He has judgments against him related to another company he owns. And if he ends up filing a Chapter 7 bankruptcy, then all Boston Market will close and it'll be gone.
Aww.
Usually when a company goes bankrupt, they file under Chapter 11 so they can restructure, mm-hmm. reorganize. But a Chapter 7 is what an individual, like if you or I were to file bankruptcy based on low income. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you have a certain amount of income, you have to go 13 because you have to make payments to your creditors. Otherwise, you can go Chapter 7 and it just wipes everything out. Nobody gets anything. So that means things are dire for Mr. What's his name? Jignesh Pandya. Okay.
So they're down to 27.
And if he files Chapter 7, they'll all go.
They'll all go.
Yeah. And then we have the last full-size Kmart store located in New York State is closing its doors for good in October.
And you know, that was a last-ditch effort when Sears and Kmart got together to try to survive.
Yeah. When I lived in New Mexico, the little town I lived in, one of our biggest shopping stores was Kmart. You know, when you lived in other parts of the country and had your nose, you know, holding your nose about Kmart, well, if you lived in that little town, you were lucky to have a Kmart.
I remember prior Walmart, Kmart was all we had. And I remember as a little girl, my mom taking us to Kmart and the stuff would go, your school clothes would go on layaway. And
yeah.
You'd make payments on
mother,
your school
clothes. My mother bought my clothes that way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember buying my kids' clothes at Kmart.
Do you remember Lerner Shops?
Yes.
My mom used to put my clothes on layaway at Lerner Shops. And when I first started watching Adam 12, there, you know, it was filmed in 1969. And there's Lerner Shops on one of the streets they were on. And I was like, oh, my gosh.
You know, straying a little rabbit hole. But at that time with layaway, you always had prepaid for what you're getting. And now we're in a society that's going to put it all on credit and we have to figure out how to come up with the money later on.
And you know, right now they announced, I think it was last week, that the highest consumer debt, credit card debt, is like $1.2 trillion that people are in debt with the credit cards. But this issue bringing up what Pat mentioned about these stores closing and so on and so forth brings up the whole issue of where we are economically, particularly in the area of manufacturing. If you look at the manufacturing in this country, it has gone down dramatically over the past 10, 15 years and continues to go down. I heard this morning that they indicated that in the last, I think it was 3 or 4 months, there's been a loss of like 1.6 million jobs, almost all in manufacturing. And most of those jobs were held by American citizens. There's actually been an increase in jobs, usually service jobs and similar jobs, all being staffed by illegals.
Illegals.
So what's happening is the jobs for American citizens are being depleted. And manufacturing jobs were historically jobs that paid better than the so-called service jobs, which they tout now. Well, we had an increase in jobs. Most of it's all service. Manufacturing's going down. Now, why is that a problem? If you look back historically at World War II, the only reason that we as the United States were able to save the world from these autocrats and dictators and so on, Japan, Germany, Italy, was because of our manufacturing capability. We became the armorers for democracy. We armed the world. We provided arms to Russia. We provided arms to England. We provided arms to all of our allies. Now that manufacturing capability doesn't exist.
Well, we had the machinery that we could repurpose to make
exactly
to make weapons, to make the proper transportation, and the machinery was here. You know, along with that, Alan, I was just hearing about the real concerns about Taiwan. Taiwan, you know, potentially being taken over by the Red Chinese, and so many of our chips, the computer chips and everything like that, are manufactured in Taiwan. What's going to happen if China takes that over?
Yeah. Well, what about our prescription drugs? They come from China. I mean, if we had a war, we had serious disease, need for medicines. China has an arm lock on a lot of those drugs that we need. They have an arm lock on computer chips. They have an arm lock on the EV batteries. I mean, the Biden administration is talking about EV tanks. How are you going to...
Well, the truth of the matter is we cannot compete on an even basis with countries like China, because of the extreme low wages they pay their workers, okay? They steal our technology, which we used to have the advantage of having manufacturing technology that was the best in the world. Now they steal it, okay? How can we compete? Plus, the Chinese government, they subsidize these industries. For example, I was reading an article the other day, which is really scary. They were talking about something that most people don't think about, and that is the cranes that load and unload ships, okay? Without those, you cannot maintain import and export. 80% of those cranes are made in China, okay? And not only are they made in China, but what they found was the Chinese, in how these are structured, they put in these modems, whatever a modem is, but they put these computer modems in, which controls how it operates. And here's the thing. Those modems are subject to control from outside of China. They actually could be programmed where they could get in, and they could shut down these cranes anytime that they wanted. And the thing is, it's so contracted. We are, for example, if you're a provider of some of the components for these cranes and so on, and you are a manufacturer from some other country from China, you cannot install them on their equipment in this country till those components go through a Chinese factory. They have to ship it to China first. Then it has to go through their controls and their manipulations, And, you know, we see what's happened recently with the pagers. I think we're going to talk about that, where they were able to, you know, infiltrate these things. You can imagine, they could shut down our whole shipping industry. And we can't survive without it because we're dependent on them and with depending on these other countries. It's really scary. Now, the good news is Donald Trump has come out recently and taken this on as one of his major objectives, is to return manufacturing to the United States. And some of the things he wants to do is he wants to increase the tariffs to kind of equate with the infusion of government money from these other countries. I heard the other day he wants to put 100% tariff on any automobiles coming from Mexico. Because what's happening, these Chinese, China's up to building these automobile manufacturing facilities in Mexico. Yeah. Then they're going to ship them here. And we cannot, no modern country can protect itself without a robust manufacturing capability, and we're losing it.
One of the things that makes a difference in terms of companies wanting to come here, obviously the tax structure, a low corporate tax, but another thing is cheap and reliable energy. And right now, under Biden-Harris, with all the restrictions on energy and the whole green energy scam, we don't have cheap and reliable energy.
Don't forget that another reason that investors come here is because of our legal system, which used to be worth a darn. The guy, what is that guy's name? Kevin Leary on Shark Tank. Mm-hmm. He says, watching that that case against Trump in New York about the filing false business reports, mm-hmm. he says investors looked at that and went, there goes the legal defense against unlawful taking of your money.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, and that's going to drive investors away.
That has already driven investors out of New York State. And it remains to be seen how that case go. That case is not finished yet, is it?
No. Mm-mm.
It will go through appeals. But I know that there are people that pulled out of New York State because of what was done to Trump and the fact that it was not equal justice under the law.
A lot of the manufacturing left the states because of the cost of labor, but also because of our environmental regulation. We seem to be the country that does all of the regulations, and places like India don't.
Mm-hmm. Some of those regulations are valid and some of them are not.
Well, they're doing it in Europe. And that's why you get the Dutch farmers uprising, the Belgium farmers,
yes.
the French farmers, the big tractors and piling up piles of poo. The
yeah.
French did that.
French did that.
Time for a break, on that.
Time for
on that ending there.
Folks, we're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. Again, thank you for staying with the CCTA Wake Up Call Show. Stop in at East 70 Point for great deals. Drew and his knowledgeable staff have been serving the New Bern area since 1989. We always try to help our customers with friendly and honest service. Our crew is what sets us apart. Treating folks like how we want to be treated is our standard. People appreciate great service plus great prices, and that's what we're all about. Our shop is like no other. We specialize in guns, jewelry, and ammo, but we have so much more. We have the largest selection of new and used firearms, coins, collectibles, musical instruments, and tools. Our new jewelry selection is growing daily. Find us at 3317 Highway 70 East of New Bern. We're open Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. and Saturday, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. Also, check out our website for many, many collectibles, east70pawn.com. East 70 Pawn is your one-stop shop to buy, sell, trade, or cash loans quickly, conveniently, and confidentially.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked to order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in New Bern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swansboro, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Folks, welcome back, and thank you for listening to our sponsors and supporters. Pat, you had some other items that we needed to bring in.
Well, I have an article here entitled "Biden-Harris Price Controls Causing Senior Drug Prices to Skyrocket," and I printed that off this morning and brought it with me. I don't get my drugs from Part D of Medicare because I get them from the VA, but I do. Kim does, and she brought in her mail on the way, and it's from Aetna. And talk about that silver script.
Well, it just came today. I opened it up when I was waiting to pick up Glenn, and I about lost my teeth, and my teeth are real. I about pulled them out. My prescription D plan is with Aetna, and it was the basic plan. It was $5.20 a month. Next year, it's going to be $40.20. And there is no explanation given for these increases, but that's just the beginning of it. They have all these coverage tiers, tier 1 through tier 5. And in tier 1, it was a zero cost share. Tier 2 was $5. Tier 3 is 24%. Drug tier 4 is 50%. Drug tier 5 was 29%. And then there was other cost sharing. Well, it also included a $280 annual deductible. That was your prescription annual deductible. Next year, it's $590. So they are
doubling, essentially.
Much more than doubling, from $5.20 to $40.20.
But the deductible 800%. Is doubling.
So that's times two. That's Part D for Glenn and myself both. Now, the interesting thing as well, this is from Aetna, and it's called Silver Script. So I will definitely be looking at other Plan Ds to be curious about what other insurance companies, other than Aetna, you know, there's Blue Cross Blue Shield and a bunch of other companies that also offer the Part D. But I maintain that some of these increases are because of the increase in Medicaid that has been pushed across the country. It's the coverage of all the illegal aliens that we're paying. So, and then the people that have paid their whole lives their taxes, worked their whole lives their taxes, paid Medicare their whole lives on this, we're the ones sitting on the, quote, fixed income. And we get these 400% increases in a year. And this is just on the prescription part. We don't even know what the Part A and B is going to be yet next year. We haven't seen that. But along the same lines, Glenn and I both have long-term care insurance. We got them when we were 50. Mine has gone up a couple times. It started at $80, and now it's up to $132. Glenn started at about $85, and now it's what, Glenn?
$230, $240.
Well, tell them about the letter you just got.
Well, it says there's an installment, which is 25% increase from my current premium. Installment, I think of a one-time payment, but this is a premium increase that's effective, I think, November 1st. And that's the first installment. The second installment is a year after that at 25%. And the third one is a year after that of 25%. So when you compound those percentages, my long-term care insurance is going to go from like $250 or $240 to almost $500. over the next 3 years.
And, you're on a fixed income right now. Yeah.
And then you can't afford it, you drop it, and then you've lost all that money you put in it.
Yeah, they give you options, and all of them are unattractive. So I called the insurance commission, and I'm going to put a complaint in. But there is a statute, General Assembly passed a statute in North Carolina that allows a 25% increase, but it capped it at that. Their legislation was trying to do better than would have otherwise happened. But, I mean, this is just a company that's clearly mismanaged their operation, and they're trying to push people out and or recoup their, for those of us that say, well, we don't want to give it up.
And, you know, but yeah, and the thing is, Glenn, what you and Kim are talking about, it's just so many things in our lives that this is occurring. Car insurance, home insurance. You look at all these things, they've gone up dramatically. They estimated that in the last 4 years, the cost of living has gone up over 20% generally. So that means the average person's 20% poorer than they were 4 years ago. And how anybody cannot look at this and say, gee, I don't want to repeat another 4 years of this. Well, then we're going to be 40%. And, you know, it's got, at some point, it's got to stop.
Think about it in terms of our age, though. We have been paying into this for 17 years now at whatever premium a month for 17 years, trying to do the, quote, right thing, prepare for our futures, not be a burden on our children, have the money to pay for in-home care so we wouldn't have to go to a nursing facility. How many people haven't done those right things to prepare for the future? So here we are doing the right things, and we're going to end up going broke paying insurance premiums.
And the thing is, if you did nothing, you spent out all your assets, if you're allowed to have a $2,000 amount of money in the bank, you could own your own home, and you qualify for Medicare.
Medicaid, excuse me.
So the point is, it's kind of like if you do the right thing, like you've done, where does it leave you? You might as well just spend everything and rely on the government. And that's socialism at its worst.
And I think that's the intent.
Well, make everybody dependent on the government.
Right. And they make us broke in the meantime.
If you're dependent, then you're under control.
Now, I want to go back to what Alan said about we can't afford four more years of this. And actually, Tim Walz made that statement. I don't know what he was thinking, but he was at a rally and he said, we can't afford four more years of this. Who does he think has been in charge for the past 4 years?
Was he talking about the fighting with Trump? What was he talking about?
The economic situation.
It was a direct quote.
Here's the thing. When you're lying all the time, occasionally the truth comes out.
That's right.
And that's what happened. He couldn't cover up. It's like Harris coming out with, she's changed all the position on these things. But if you pop her if she's unaware of what you're going to ask her about, say, gun control or the border or whatever, she may very well come out and say, well, I believe in the same thing I did before, which 90% of the people in the country don't want.
Yeah, the quote is, we can't afford four more years of this.
Well, he must have gotten confused with the bubble they're living in, that she's a new way forward.
She's the new way.
We're forgetting
Turn the page.
That she's also the old way that we're stuck in.
The old way and the new way are the same way.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, I hope maybe J.D. Vance at the debate will bring that quote up and say, well, we're glad to hear that we, you know, what you said the other day, I assume that you're on our side now.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Kim, along with what you were saying, that I know that back a couple of months ago that the Biden administration were very proud to say that I happen to use Eliquis, clot prevention. They said that they're going to do a great job of reducing the cost of Eliquis in 2026. Now, why does it have to wait 2 years to do that?
Because they got to get elected so that they can do that for you.
And this is a $600 drug.
Yeah. Well, you know,
this is a nasty drug.
Thank goodness that Trump is coming out with some proposals, which I think will really help. You talk about people that are on fixed income. I don't know what you do, but I have to pay taxes on my Social Security.
Yes, we will too.
I paid in all this money, all these years, I finally start collecting Social Security, then you have to turn around and pay a tax on the money that you put in there. And well, that was one of the things he said he was going to eliminate. So thank God we got somebody that's looking out for the common person.
Now, what did we?
We're about as common as you get.
What did we just avoid? Matter of a day or two ago. I mean, I don't agree with the way that that Speaker of the House Johnson did it, but they've extended the continuing resolution for a couple of months, right? They've done that to extend it without the SAVE Act.
Yeah, we don't do budgets anymore. We just do a continuing resolution.
But the kicker is, if we don't have a, quote, continuing resolution, what's the first thing they're going to stop paying?
Your Social Security.
No, they never talk about stopping paying the welfare to the illegals or whatever else. We're going to stop paying your Social Security. Where does that fit into the scheme of things?
I want to know what it's going to take for Joe Average to figure out that all these things that the government is doing is not to help us. It's to enslave us.
It really is. The silence is deafening now.
I know.
Okay.
Well, I have a little fanny gate.
Okay.
I think the answer to Kim's question is, as long as when you get people dependent on the government, they don't want to stop it. They want it to continue.
Yeah.
And that's what a lot of these people, they are on the receiving end.
So what's going to motivate you to work? What will motivate people to go to work to make an income if the government's going to take care of me to sit on my butt and do nothing?
Well, I think you need to do what they tried to do in the 1990s. They made work requirements in order to get these benefits. You had to go to work.
That's not constitutional, Alan.
It was passed and it was in effect until
they took it away because it was unconstitutional.
No, it wasn't found unconstitutional.
No, Why'd they stop it?
The regime changed.
Obama stopped it.
Obama stopped it. Because Newt Gingrich brought it in under Clinton.
Yes.
And Obama stopped it.
And Clinton didn't want to sign it, but he was told that politically he had no choice to sign it, so he did. And that was one of the few times that the budget deficit went down.
Yes.
Under Clinton, not because of Clinton, but because of Newt Gingrich and his contract with America. Right. And we need another Newt Gingrich Congress to get us into reasonable spending. I mean, I was mad about the continuing resolution, but I was mad also that they couldn't even pass an act that said only American citizens should vote in our elections.
And that should tell people a whole lot.
Oh, yeah.
The only reason for illegals to vote is to cheat.
Okay. I think that the reality of it is when you have a 1-2 vote majority in the House, that's going to limit what you could do.
Yes.
The voters need to stand up and put a significant majority in the House, take control of the Senate, and if Trump gets elected with those other two things, we got a good chance of reversing and going back to save this country. Without it, we're not going to make it.
I saw something that said the House is trending Democrat and the Senate is trending Republican.
Okay. That would be interesting.
Pat, you were going to sneak in Fannygate.
Fannygate. Fanny showed up at the site of her daughter's arrest on driving suspended revoked with her boyfriend, Nate.
That's the person they don't have anything to do with.
That's the one she testified under oath that she no longer has a relationship with.
Okay. Folks, we're going to take another quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. Just think about that.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
The God and Country Christian Alliance has a simple mission, but it is a profound one. They want to inform and educate the public on issues of moral and political concern. They want to restore the Judeo-Christian values upon which this nation was founded to all levels of government. And they want to encourage and activate pro-family voters. Simple, but not easy. The God and Country Christian Alliance meets the third Monday of every month at Moore's Barbecue on MLK in New Bern. Meetings begin promptly at 7 p.m. and end by 8:30. To enjoy dinner with the group before the meeting, arrive between 6 and 6:30. Both the food and the company are good. Meetings include speakers and discussion, and their annual banquets are legendary. Join them on the third Monday of each month for a refreshingly candid view of the world and our place in it.
Just who are these people doing this CCTA program? They're people like you, a photographer, someone that ran their own business, someone retired from the military, just people in the community that love this country and have a desire to do their part to lower taxes and shrink government, to protect individual liberty, and to preserve the U.S. Constitution and free enterprise system. We welcome you to come out to a meeting. If you like what you see and hear, there's a place where you can contribute to the cause. To learn more, go to cctaxpayers.com. That's cctaxpayers.com. The group meets every third Tuesday at Stanley Hall Ballroom in downtown New Bern to enjoy a fantastic speaker and report on CCTA activity since the last meeting. If you've been disappointed with rising taxes and government intrusion, don't just complain. Join Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association and make your voice heard.
Welcome back. And again, thank you for listening to our sponsors and supporters. One of the other items that I know that I ran across was the U.S. Justice Department has filed an antitrust lawsuit against Visa, alleging that the financial services behemoth uses its size and dominance to stifle competition. How's that for a legal?
Well, they're being investigated by the Department of Justice, and oddly enough, just weeks before the investigation began, Paul Pelosi, Nancy Pelosi's husband, dumped over $500,000 worth of Visa stock.
No insider trading going on there.
No, that's totally...
That's just incidental.
Just a random huge coinkydink.
He must have talked to Hillary's tax advisor, yeah. On cow futures.
Yes, cattle futures. I remember
cattle
that.
Cattle futures.
And as long as we're on scandals, the FCC is in the process of fast-tracking George Soros buying a whole group of radio stations owned by Audacit, because they're going bankrupt, and it's being fast-tracked. He wants to do it before the election.
Now, is there anything common about those radio stations?
Well, yeah, as a matter of fact, the radio stations, Audacy is evidently the name of the radio station group, has people like Sean Hannity, Dana Leash, Mark Levin, Glenn Beck, and Eric Erickson.
No conservatives on that list.
And George Soros, if he buys it, anybody want to make a bet as to whether or not he'll change the lineup on those stations?
Did you say those stations, though, were AM?
It doesn't say.
A majority of them, I believe, were or are AM, yeah.
And you mentioned while we were on break that car manufacturers are trying to get rid of AM radios.
At one point, I was reading car manufacturers wanted to get rid of the AM because they're supporting the FM and the satellite.
And also because most of conservative radio is on AM radio.
And isn't that another example of our government agencies getting involved in political election interference? They're fast-tracking this, you mentioned, and fast-tracking it before the election and owning radio stations that have the most conservative commentators. That surely has no influence on what people hear before an election.
Of course not.
Well, no satire on my part.
Well, I don't think he can change the programming in 40 days.
Oh, they can change it overnight. Look what they did to Tucker Carlson.
They have to have somebody to replace them. We're not talking about one show, 1 hour length show on Fox. We're talking about 225 radio stations, 24/7.
Well, oh, you can, Alec syndicate, Baldwin. You can syndicate enough liberal. You can do that. We saw that with. We had a Christian radio station up in Massachusetts that was Christian music and, you know, biblical teaching and all that kind of stuff. And we turned it on one morning and it was all in Spanish. It was like, what happened? But, I mean, they can do it overnight and they don't necessarily have to announce that they're doing it.
No, but you've got Oprah Winfrey, you've got Gayle King, you've got, you know, all of these Hollywood lefties that would be glad to do a special show.
And I'm sure Al Gore would try to come back and do another show.
You could put The View on the radio.
I don't, you know, women that watch that show embarrass all of us.
Women on that show embarrass all of us.
That's a given. But the women that sit there and clap like trained seals for the crapola those women spew every day.
I think the word is harpies.
Harpies, Furies.
Pat, you had something on the Air Force.
Yeah, I've got new documents shed light on the Air Force's goal to reduce white male population joining the officer ranks. I think they're attempting to manipulate the numbers of the accession of white males through ROTC, ROTC. This is part of the Go Woke. Diversity is our strength.
Toxic.
And
men.
Whenever you hear DEI, diversity, multiculturalism, as far as I'm concerned, it's nothing but code for anti-white racism.
You know, along with that, I'm going to bring up something that we didn't have scripted or whatever. We're not scripted, but you know, there's ongoing debates between the two candidates for the superintendent of public instruction, mm-hmm. Mo Green and Michelle Morrow, and they've had a lot of debates, and I'm glad to see that they're having a lot of debates. From one of the debates, I think it was up in Greenville. Mo Green said he believes that if we just have teachers that look like our black and brown students, that they are going to be able to perform. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is racism.
Of course it is. Now, making people based on the color of their skin rather than their ability to teach.
Not trying to campaign one way or the other, but he wants to go and throw just...
Well, it's part of that. America, the Supreme Court should look like America. Remember that old
yes.
thing, you know, because there were 9 white men, and now we have a black woman, and we have...
A Hispanic woman.
And an uneducated woman. Yes, okay.
We have a lesbian.
Yeah. But I think the point is that we've heard campaigns ourselves that... But you understand, we need to take control of education, not just throw money or personalities at education.
Have any of these debates been televised? Or is there some place online where we can find them?
I'm not sure. I know that there are places that you can see them. There's a lot of them have shown up on YouTube.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd look on YouTube. What just occurred to me listening to this conversation, because when we turn the radio off for the ads to run, we're all, okay, what are we going to do next? You have to understand this show is just 6 people that show up and discuss what we've read, what is available for any American citizen to read. I mean, we just get up in the morning and we read through the stuff that we follow online, and then we come and have this conversation. And if you look at the conversation we had today, we've had multiple topics with interesting perspectives on them, on topics that I think are of interest to the people that are listening to the show. But I want to say thank you to the people that listen to the show, because you obviously are open to what we're finding out. And if that's a shortcut for you, that's a win-win situation.
We also need to mention, if someone who is listening to the show wants a specific topic addressed or wants to say something.
Or be on the show.
That too. They can send an email to bob@cctaxpayers.com or mary@cctaxpayers.com. I want to mention one more thing about the upcoming presidential election, and that is the pictures that we saw this week of President Zelensky with the governor of Pennsylvania signing bombs while campaigning for Kamala Harris.
That's just wrong. That's just wrong.
That's foreign election interference. And nobody seems to care.
Well, I think a lot of people care, like people like us, but we don't have a voice.
Right.
So, you know, we're way down in the weeds talking about it to each other. But as far as any major media covering concerns about that, you can forget about that.
The mainstream media covered it like it was a wonderful thing.
Yeah.
And we know that not too many years ago when Trump was first running, I think, and all of a sudden this Russiagate. Well, he's got the Russian influence because somebody was sitting in a bar and talking to somebody else in a bar, and because they talked to one another and may have been overheard by somebody else, blah, blah, blah. So that was this is just in your face.
Speaking about outside influence, I want to bring up Mark Robinson.
Okay.
We've all heard the allegations have been made in the last week or so. Most of us here at this table had heard previously, prior to the primary, some of the baggage that might have come out in Mr. Robinson's background. And we felt like it was just going to be held in reserve until the primary was over, until the Democrats needed to use the weapons. However, the way that this has come out makes me think it's as much about Donald Trump as it is about Mark Robinson, because of how it came out. It didn't come out locally. It didn't come out in our state. It came out nationally on CNN. So this is guilt by association, like the Russiagate thing. It is a way to try to get Trump voters saying, okay, he's buddies with this so-and-so, who's this such-and-such. That is an allegation. It's not proven. We don't know if it's true or not. But how many times did the media tell us that the Hunter's computer was bogus? How many times did they tell us that the Russian collusion was real? The fact is, we don't know, and this is election interference.
This really is election. And, you know, that, again, like the Russiagate thing, this is circular sourcing, where from what I've read, again, CNN got their information from somebody, and Joe got that from Fred, and Fred got that from so-and-so, and so-and-so got that, and so-and-so got it from CNN. So it's circular logic. There's only innuendos.
But this is typical of what the Democrats do. They don't want to discuss policy and issues. What they want to do, when they consistently do this, they attack the individual. They did that with Trump. Made all these false lawsuit accusations and indictments that they brought to attack the individual. Personally, I don't care what Mark Robinson did 20 years ago or 15 years ago, whether it's true or not. I'm going to judge a candidate on what are they going to do now? What actions are they going to take? Because that's the only thing that matters.
Well, it only
because
matters.
If you're not rational about what you're trying to do, when you elect a politician, you want someone to take positions that you believe in, that are consistent with your principles and beliefs.
And it
That's
only
the
matters
critical
if
thing.
You're a Republican. Do you remember when Bill Clinton was run with Monica Lewinsky and Jennifer Flowers? It didn't matter what he did in his free time or in his bedroom or boudoir, married or not, because he's doing a good job.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. And this is one of the things that I'm very tempted to say to some of the never-Trumpers who don't like his personality or things he's done. If you had lived in ancient Israel, would you have supported King David?
He was an adulterer.
And a murderer.
I made that same point to somebody that said they didn't want to vote for Trump because of his personal issues. And I said, God doesn't always pick a perfect instrument.
No,
we're there to vote for policies, not personalities. Folks, we're going to take another quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. Thank you for staying with CCTA Wake Up Call.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business, it's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked to order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in New Bern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swansboro, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
County Compass is a rapidly growing, free, weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news. Coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
Thank you again for listening to our sponsors and supporters. Pat, you wanted to add one more?
Yeah, I just have one more comment about Mark Robinson. I had lunch with the Republican Women's group today, and we talked about the Mark Robinson smear job for just a little bit. And somebody brought up a point that I think is relevant, which is if this happened so long ago, they would have had access to it 4 years ago when he had 17 opponents for lieutenant governor, it would have been used. And the fact that the specifics of this claim that he said this, this, and this, all three of them are designed to strike at the heart of conservative issues, you know, the family, pornography,
abortion,
Nazism. I mean, it's just too pat.
It's too convenient.
Yeah. So the only thing that concerned me was that some of his senior advisors quit. That kind of bothered me. But then, like somebody said to me before we came on the air, we don't know what their background is, how devoted or, you know, clued in on his campaign they were, so that when the going gets rough, they just get up and leave.
Well, some of that you might think that they're trying to protect their political future, too.
Right.
They don't want to go down with a sinking ship. If you could say the same thing about Kamala and her staff turnover. You know, why are people jumping ship on her all the time? But you don't hear about that. You only hear about the Republicans.
No, and that's an ongoing thing. This is a one-time thing.
Right.
We're going to go to the Middle East. And we're going to start out with pagers and walkie-talkies. And I have to say, that was the most precise strike on the terrorists in the area that could possibly have been done. I know there were probably some civilians wounded, but the people who got the serious wounds were the people who were involved with the terrorists. And I do wonder why the Iranian ambassador to Syria had a Hezbollah pager.
No, I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
I thought that was very interesting.
I want to know how they got the pagers. I mean, did they get them somewhere in the manufacture process?
Well, they bought them from a company that was evidently a shell company that Israel had set up that did legitimate business all over the world. But they had been set up, I guess, in anticipation of this. The reason that the terrorists stopped using cell phones is they discovered that you could track the location of a person by their cell phone. And after a couple of missiles hit into some major meetings, they decided that maybe cell phones weren't such a good idea. So they switched to pagers. Evidently, Israel anticipated this, set up this company, and did the pagers, and also did the walkie-talkies. And again, they targeted the terrorists. They didn't target the civilian population, which is much more than you can say for Hezbollah, who has been shooting rockets into Israel against the civilian population for almost a year now. And I did hear today that there was something aimed at Tel Aviv, which was not a good thing to hear. And so that's where we are.
One of the things that we were made aware of a number of years ago, and I'm going to go like 2000, the World Trade Center, is that these cells that had the pager, these cells are not aware of who is in their hierarchy. The cells actually operate independent of one another. They don't know who the various cells are. So you can infiltrate one cell, but you don't know what the hierarchy is. This was a situation where, using technology, they revealed an awful lot of the hierarchy.
Wow.
You know, and it's really, when you think about it from a larger perspective, this is really scary. How many people have cell phones? How many people have tablets? How do we know that there's no foreign influence? Where do they come from? They come from overseas, mostly. These things could be done to this electronic equipment. There's so many things in our modern world that are threats. For example, drones. When drones were first started, people think, well, I'll have a drone and I can take pictures from the sky, and the realtors were using them, and the roofers were using them. But now what are they used for? They're using for bombing people. And you don't have to have, like, years ago, in order to build a bomber or whatever. This was something that took a lot of technology and it took a lot of manufacturing capability. Now, and you can get these drones and give them out, give hundreds or thousands of them all, and that's used as a mechanism for attacking people. The technology is really getting, really, in my opinion, really scary.
Think about earbuds.
You could do some damage with those.
I mean, when Alan brought up electronics, I mean, everybody at the store you see with earbuds in.
You know, thank good. You know, and Israel, there's one other thing that they've had. You mentioned the rocket attacks, Mary. They have what they call the Iron Dome.
Yes.
Okay? It is a very sophisticated, complex system that has protected them from probably, 95-98% mm-hmm. of the incoming attacks, drones or missiles or whatever. We in the United States, we don't have that. We don't have an iron a dome system. We don't have a system. Ronald Reagan, when he was president, actually tried to develop that. That was part of the mechanism that caused Russia to back off their
yes.
competition with us, because they knew they couldn't compete with that. And Trump has said that when he's elected, hopefully, then he will look at putting that in, because all these other countries are developing these mechanisms that they could attack us.
Wasn't Space Force supposed to be for that reason, to be able to help protect us from.
Well, isn't the Iron Dome?
I think so. Yeah, I think.
Isn't the Iron Dome kind of the grandchild of Star Wars? I mean, we started with that technology under Reagan.
Yeah, but I think Star Wars were more fighting space in space, whereas yeah. this is something.
But the idea, on the idea of shooting a missile down before it got to its destination, I think that's where that idea is rooted.
But a laser from a satellite would do the same thing.
Yes,
and probably quicker.
That's
but
true.
But well, you have cool. more. You have more countries. Excuse me. You have more countries getting nuclear weapons now. Obviously, North Korea, they keep flexing their muscles periodically, developing missiles that can reach the United States. Iran is within, what, a hair's breadth of developing
yes.
their capability. They already have the ballistic missile systems. All they have to do is put the nuclear weapons on them. We need a system that will to defend our country from these possible attacks. It's unfortunate, but to believe that you could just count on the good graces of these other countries, as Israel's finding out, they want to wipe you out, they're going to try to wipe you out.
And you also have the new technology of the hypersonic missiles, which are a whole other thing. I want to change the subject to go to two things. I was very upset this week to see that the Department of Justice released the letter by the assassin who attempted to assassinate President Trump that essentially offered a $150,000 bounty on President Trump. Now, I remember what we went through to try to get the manifesto of the shooter in Tennessee released. They didn't want to release that at all. Why were they so quick to release this letter? What's going on? You did have an article about the impact of immigration.
I do. The lifetime fiscal impact of immigration, it's come out of the Manhattan Institute, and it was 35 pages long. I got the executive summary here. The report quantifies the fiscal impact of common immigration reform proposals, which are, of course, economic, and mass deportations, which Trump is promising, would significantly reduce the national debt over the long run. But a policy of selective legalization coupled with mass deportation would be even more fiscally beneficial, reducing the debt by about $1.9 trillion.
And you know, Pat, this relates back to when we were talking the drug costs or the inflation in those costs to cover some of what's being provided for the illegals. We've got to stop providing making the illegals dependent upon us.
It's not, the illegals are a big part of it, but I also think that the Obamacare in general is responsible for it, because I don't recall ever in my lifetime there being a shortage of doctors, the shortage of prescription medicines, the cost increases going continually, and it's all about, they say, about equal opportunity to have, for everybody to have coverage. But people were always, no matter what the economic situation was, they were always available to get health care. They could go to an emergency room and get covered.
Yes.
Well, I've got another thing from the study here. He makes correlations between education, age, and earnings. Education level, I saw a meme that said, import third world people, import third world problems. A lot of the people that we're importing have no education. They don't speak our language. We're going to be paying for them. He's got some ideas here, exempting STEM graduate degree holders. I don't think those are the people that are coming across the border.
You're right.
They're not. No.
No.
But yet we recruit them into our colleges, the best and the brightest recruit into our colleges, and then if they stay here, it's to steal our technology to take home.
That's right.
And how do we expect, when we take a town of 50 or 60,000 people and we throw 20,000 people from another culture into it, how do we expect those people to assimilate?
Folks, we're going to wrap up the show right now. And the one thing that I really do want to add to the show is I just want to let everybody know I'm saddened by hearing of the passing of a good friend, Buzzy Stubbs, who was known throughout the state. He passed away last evening. He's going to be missed.
CCTA Wake Up Call airs Saturday at 6 a.m., some days at 11 a.m., and 8 p.m. on WTKF 107.1.